Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
And right now, it's big fight time. Live in Las Vegas, Trevor Burbick and Mike Tyson are about to battle it out for the WBC Heavyweight Championship.
To another episode of World Championship Boxing, and today we are talking about the greatest performances in boxing history, Floyd Mayweather. And I'm joined once again by Juan Silva. What's up, homie?
Hey, good evening, fight fans. Good evening, Logan. Sunday evening in New York City. We talk about one of the greatest defensive fighters of all time, one of the fastest fighters of all time, Floyd Money Mayweather. His two greatest performances, because he combines his defensive excellence with phenomenal offensive displays. Both these fights, January 20th, 2001, against Diego Corrales, the battle of the undefeated junior lightweight champions, a fight, Logan, going in that was even money. It was even money because Corrales was killing everybody. People actually thought Corrales could beat Mayweather going into this fight. Ha-ha! Then in the second fight, June 25th, 2005, like Roy Jones said, I don't even know why they bothered making this match, because this match was a mismatch the minute they fucking signed the contract. Floyd Mayweather going up against WBC junior welterweight champion Arturo Thundergatti.
Yeah, I mean, definitely some mismatched fights. I was just wondering, how many Floyd Mayweather fights were in the greatest fight series?
Not a single one.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny, when you get a fighter that's this good, it's kind of hard to have great fights, you know? I mean, it's just, that's the thing.
You know, it's funny. And Floyd Mayweather in the 21st century, in the decade of the 2000s, is equivalent to Roy Jones of the 1990s. As you can see, Logan, also, Roy Jones didn't have a single fight that we covered in the greatest fight series. Why? Because they totally dominated the guys they fought.
Absolutely, and, you know, that's the thing about Floyd. I mean, a lot of people complain that his fights aren't that exciting because of the way in which he...
It's not his fault. Boxing is hit and not get hit, and he's the master at that.
Now, let's talk about just quickly some of his closer fights before we get into these, like the one with Oscar De La Hoya.
Okay, Floyd's toughest fights were last year against Miguel Cotto. Cotto gave him hell. His fight with Oscar De La Hoya, yes, Oscar De La Hoya. The fight was even after 9 rounds, but De La Hoya ran out of gas, and Floyd Mayweather swept the last 3 rounds to win the decision. And his 2 fights with Jose Luis Castillo a year after he fought Corrales, those were razor-thin fights because Castillo stayed on top of Floyd, didn't give Floyd any room to run.
Yeah, and I mean, those fights, I mean, while they were close, they weren't exciting, you know, because they were very...
Well, the Cotto fight was the closest thing to...
Right.
But you know what? So many great fights we covered, it didn't make the cut. But
right.
If there was one fight that would be in the greatest fight series in his career, it would have been the Cotto fight. Unfortunately, it wasn't as great as other Cotto fights that we covered. You know, got to be an all-time great fight. While it was a good fight, It wasn't necessarily a great fight.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I guess, you know, that's just the way it goes when you're that good. But talk about now, before we get into this, when did he first become a pro?
Okay. Floyd Mayweather won a bronze medal. He got robbed in the in the bronze medal match, the winner to go to the finals in the 1996 Olympics. He was robbed, so he came home with a bronze medal, a medal that he's only won once. He gave it to his aunt. If anybody's ever seen the Floyd Mayweather documentary that Showtime did last year, they show that he doesn't even want to look at the bronze medal because he got robbed. He got robbed, similar to Floyd Mayweather Jr. He got robbed.
But he got robbed, but why did he only go – silver?
It goes gold, silver, bronze. He lost in the
semifinals. So he didn't even get the silver.
Because he lost – he got robbed in the semifinals, the winner to go to the gold medal round.
I got you.
Yeah.
And what was the robbery? It was just like a bad decision?
They went to computerized scoring in boxing in the amateurs, which is horrible because they have five judges, and every time you throw in order for the landed punch to count, three of the five judges have to hit the button at the same time. It's just bullshit. They changed it. They went back to traditional scoring, so the next Olympics will be different. It was just bullshit, and you could tell in the Olympics, he was 19 years old. You could tell back then that he was going to be an all-time great.
And so then he came out of there and turned pro.
Less than 2 years after he turned pro, Logan, in 1998, he destroyed Genaro Hernandez, a three-time junior lightweight champion, to win the WBC Junior Lightweight Championship in 1998 and became one of the youngest men ever to win the Fighter of the Year. At the age of 21, he was the 1998 Ring Fighter of the Year.
All right, so he was definitely just already on top of his game now. Do you attribute his dominance to his reflexes and athleticism, or is it pure skill?
It's a combination of all the above, plus the fact that he's from a fighting family. His uncle,
right,
Roger Mayweather, was a two-time world champion at junior welterweight and junior lightweight. His father, Floyd Mayweather Sr., while not a great fighter, was a journeyman who fought the likes of Marlon Starlin and Sugar Ray Leonard, former world welterweight champions. And his uncle, Jeff Mayweather, was also an amateur star and got a shot at a world championship, lost, and funny fact, Jeff Mayweather lost to Oscar De La Hoya early in De La Hoya's career.
Didn't we cover one of the Mayweathers in the
Yeah, we covered
fight?
Roger Mayweather versus Pernell Whitaker, one of the best fights in Pernell, probably the most action-packed fight in Pernell Whitaker's career. And Pernell Whitaker will be one of the guys we visit on his greatest performance series.
Now, Pernell Whitaker has a similar style to Floyd, right?
You look at these two fights, Logan, Floyd looks like a combination of Pernell Whitaker and Sugar Ray Leonard in these two fights.
Absolutely. And it'd be interesting to check out that, bout championship boxing program.
Yeah, the program the other day to see how they would match up. Now, I'm glad you did that program because early 1980s, 82, 83, there was a game, a simulation board game called Ring Showdown, and it was so eerie in the fact that a lot of the big fights at the time, Hearns, Leonard, Hagler, Duran, Hagler, Hearns, when you played the game, it came out with the exact result of what happened in the fight.
Yeah, and I think this computer model is based on that old game.
Yes, I believe so too, because Ring Showdown was a great game. I had it in it went bankrupt though, and there's no. That not even the guy who created the game, Billy Vargas, has a copy of the game. If anybody has a copy of that game, email me. I would love to buy it. I'll pay whatever for it. Because I had that game as a kid, lost it in a fire. It was a great board game, and it had 16 of the best fighters of that era. Hagler, Hearns, Leonard, Duran, Larry Holmes. And you would make, I would do tournaments. And so that's why I'm interested in this title bout thing. And, Logan, after I purchased the game, you sent me an email and played a few times. Even though I'm like you, very busy schedule, I'll let you know what it looks like. But let's go on to the first fight in this show. Floyd Mayweather Jr., January 20th, 2001, defending the WBC championship, junior lightweight championship, against the IBF junior lightweight champion, Diego Chico Corrales.
Yeah, now Chico Corrales, this guy, where do you rate him in terms of the greatest fighters?
He's not an all-time great. Diego Corrales was one of the best action fighters of his era, had some great fights. We covered a few of his fights in the Greatest Fight series. And his May 7th, 2000 fight against Jose Castillo was voted the greatest fight of the 21st century so far.
Okay, so he had a lot of momentum going into this fight.
Yeah, you had two undefeated fighters, and like I said at the beginning of this program, the betting odds were even. There wasn't a clear-cut favorite because even though everybody knew Floyd's skill, Diego Corrales is 6 foot tall. Floyd Mayweather was 5'8", so Diego Corrales came in with a 4-inch height advantage and much more telling power. He was a much more powerful puncher. So a lot of people thought that he would catch Floyd.
Yeah, well, I thought he just fought a real stupid fight. I mean, on top of everything, like, the mismatch was there, but I also thought that he just, the way in which he was just following Floyd around, basically, to put his head in front of a fist.
You know who kept stating that? George Foreman did a hell of a job announcing this fight, because he kept saying, the greatest weapon is what we've been saying throughout the 80-some-odd telecasts that we've done. George Foreman kept saying, the greatest punch ever invented in boxing is the left jab. You could be a good fighter without a jab, but to be a great fighter, you have to have a jab. Something that we reiterated over and over again in this series. Diego might have thrown 5 jabs the whole fight.
Yeah, I don't know. He just kept basically putting his face right where the punch was. I mean, that's essentially what his whole game plan was. And, like, I couldn't. It just looked like he's like, hey, here's my face. Punch it. Here's my face again. Punch it again.
And he's throwing wild hooks, wild shots. And Floyd is just, Floyd sees everything coming. Floyd starts in the first round. He starts with a jab to the stomach, which is one of the greatest jabbers to the stomach in the history of the sport. While Floyd doesn't have one of the greatest jabs of all time, Floyd might be in the top 50 all time as far as his jab goes. His jab to the body is very reminiscent of Sugar Ray Leonard, who was the first guy I ever saw use that jab with total effectiveness. Floyd has that tool, and you don't see anybody in boxing other than Floyd today use that punch, that weapon, the left jab to the stomach, which sets up the face, because when you go, now all of a sudden, after 2 or 3 rounds, Corrales is like, oh, is he jabbing to my stomach? I'm protecting my stomach. Meanwhile, the jab to the face begins to land at a very accurate pace.
Yeah, well, the jab to the, I mean, the Floyd's jab, I mean, he has a lot of faking that he does with the jab. He also does, like, he doesn't act, sometimes he doesn't even punch. He just kind of throws it out there. So I noticed that he was, using it in different ways, but, yeah, not as much as he did use it in the Gatti fight, for sure.
So I thought he used the jab more in the Corrales fight than the Gatti fight. And what I loved about him,
oh, you did?
His jabbing to the stomach against Corrales also set up the lead left hook, the check left hook that he started landing at will in the second and third round. Corrales didn't know what the fuck to do with this guy. Now he don't know. The jab to the stomach, jab to the face, hook off the jab, lead left hook, lead right hand. It all came to the head, Logan, at the beginning of the 7th round, where at the bell, Mayweather drops Corrales with a lead left hook. Corrales goes down. He gets up. Floyd knocks him down again with a left hook. Then towards the end of the round, he drops him with a 6-punch combination. Right then and there, referee Richard Steele, who's known to stop fights early, should have stopped the fight right then and there. The fight was over. There was no way this guy was going to win.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell that from after the third round. It was just like going to be a crazy fucked up fight for Corrales. It wasn't going to work out for him. This is the way that he was fighting. But if he had stood tall and threw out the jab, he would have had a chance.
The thing is, you know, Corrales has, in the past and after this fight, utilized the jab. In his victory over Joel Casamayor, they fought three times. The second time, Corrales beat Casamayor. Why? Because he boxed and he used the jab against a much shorter and quicker Joel Casamayor. If he would have used the jab in this fight, it would have been a much more compelling matchup. He didn't jab at all in this fight, and if you don't have a jab, you don't have a shot in hell of beating Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, right. I mean, and the thing is Mayweather, too, is just like, he was hitting him with right-hand leads. He was
hitting him with every punch in the book. Left hook to the body, jab to the body, left hook to the head, right cross down the line, Lee left hook, Lee right cross. He was doing whatever he wanted to do against Corrales, and he was laughing. He was laughing at him.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was just, I think at a certain level, like, Corrales just started getting freaked out, you know, and he couldn't. Oh, shit, we're getting feedback, man. I think I got to call back in.
All right, call me back.
All right. Okay, and we're back. So let's talk about kind of just what happened. I mean, there was also a knockdown earlier in the fight, just a quick knockdown. I think it was like the second round or what was
it? No. There were five knockdowns in the fight. Three occurred in the seventh. In the eighth round, Corrales actually threw some punches. Still got his ass handed to him. Ninth round, more the same. And then finally, in the tenth round, Mayweather drops Corrales twice again. Finally, the last time was a vicious right cross. The first four knockdowns were left hooks. The last knockdown attempt was a right cross down the pipe. Richard Steele still hasn't stopped the fight. I don't know what the fuck he's waiting for. Finally, Corrales' father stops the fight. And during the melee, as soon as Corrales' father stops the fight, Corrales tries to hit his father. As George Foreman said, wow, that's the closest, that's the most damaging punch he threw all night.
Yeah, he was really pissed off when his father threw in the towel. And I thought it was a little premature. I mean, I know you said that the fight was over, but like...
Oh, come on, premature? He hadn't won a round. He'd been knocked down five times. He can't hit the guy. How's it premature?
Well, I agree with that, but I also see that he wasn't
He took
hurt.
A beating. He was getting hit. Boy, he was hitting him at will.
I guess so. I mean, but, you know, it's like...
His father knows his son better than anybody. Knows his son's getting his ass kicked. It can only get worse. It's not going to get better. He's going to take more punishment for two more rounds. Not necessary. He can't win. His father knows this. He can't win.
Right.
So I went to decision. I lost all 12 rounds. I got dropped 8 times and both my eyes are closed. What the fuck?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But a fighter always likes to go out on a shield.
It doesn't. In this case, it doesn't matter. He was getting his ass handed to him. He got schooled. One of the greatest performances in boxing history. He took a beating. Stop it. It was in the father. And you know, unfortunately, they never spoke again after that.
Really?
Yes. Diego Corrales died May 7th, 2007. Him and his father never made up.
That is sad, man. That's
he
ridiculous.
Fired his father after this fight, and they never spoke to each other again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, that's the thing, though. When you're a fighter, man, like, you just think, like, there's always that one punch, you know? And,
but not against a guy like Floyd Mayweather. It's not happening. You can't hit him. How are you going to hit him? You going to step on his foot?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's an emotional thing, man, for a fighter. Like, it's hard to accept that.
The referee, Richard Steele, should have stopped that fight in the seventh round after he went down the third time. It was over then. He had no shot. He wasn't hitting the guy. Look at the CompuBox. It was the first time in the history of CompuBox stats that a fighter went 10 rounds landing less than 10 punches per round. Corrales landed less than 10 punches per round each of the 10 rounds of this fight.
Yeah, and nothing clean.
And not a single shot that made you think, oh, he's got a shot.
Oh, nothing. I mean, it was just completely.
It was done. It was the boxing equivalent of a no-hitter.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think that his dad was probably just like, but, I mean, did his dad warn him at least in the corner that, like,
yeah.
Look, I'm going to stop? Oh, he did.
Before the eighth, after he got dropped three times in the corner before the beginning of the eighth round, him and his co-trainer, both Miguel Diaz and Diego Corrales' father, told Diego, if he doesn't start throwing punches, they're stopping the fight right then and there.
Well, at one point, he fell down because Floyd Mayweather pushed him. Did you see that? Like Floyd Mayweather.
I love that. He just jumped into the floor.
And then Michael Steele's like, "Don't push." But yeah, I mean, Floyd is just. I mean, and the thing is, you could look at Floyd as running a little bit, but I mean, that's what he had to do.
Nah,
I mean,
you can't call it. What he did was. He was being a divisive wizard. He was fighting like Sugar Ray Leonard and Pearl Whitaker this night. And you know what? When he stood in front of Corrales, Corrales couldn't hit him.
What did he say?
When he stood in front of Corrales, Corrales couldn't hit him.
Yeah. I mean, and Corrales just kept, like, walking right up to him, man. Like, I mean, I just thought that, you know, what do you do? Like, I guess you just stand tall and don't try to walk right into a punch.
The type of fighter that would have given Floyd, there's two types of fighters. Tommy Hearns, Alexis Arguello, and Roberto Duran. Duran would have gave Floyd trouble because Duran would have stayed on top of Floyd. And no matter how many punches Floyd hit Duran would have been on top of him like white on rice. He would have given Floyd hell. Tommy Hearns, 6'2", is throwing the jab. So Floyd's got to deal with that cannon of a jab that we saw last week on the first edition of this series. And that right hand from hell. And then Alexis Arguello, who also had a great jab and had bricks in both hands. I think Floyd beats Arguello because I think he does enough to win a 12-round decision or even a 15-round decision because Floyd's won a few fighters today that go 15 rounds. Hearns knocks out Floyd Mayweather, and Duran Floyd would have been one of those type of fights that we would have covered in the Greatest Fight Series. That would have been a great battle.
Now, what about Hagler?
Floyd would have never fought Hagler. Hagler would have killed Floyd. Hagler's too strong. Hagler's a full-fledged middleweight. Floyd has never gone near the middleweight division.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, anyway, the fight was a shutout. Corrales, you said he went on to win.
Yeah, he went on to win the lightweight championship from Asselino Freitas. He defeated Jose Luis Castillo May 7th, 2005 in a fight we covered on the Greatest Fight Series, one of the greatest fights of all time. Many, many experts, magazines, publications have it as one of the top 10 fights of all time. It was voted as the greatest fight of the 21st century so far. That's how great that fight was. But he never won another fight after that. He lost to Castillo in a rematch, and he lost at welterweight. He lost to Casamayor in a rebel match. And then, now the fight with Castillo occurred May 7th, 2005. 2 years to the date later, May 7th, 2007, Corrales, while driving his motorcycle and being drunk at twice the legal limit, crashed into something and was dead on impact.
Wow, so that's after his father died.
No. Him and his father never died. I believe his father's still alive.
His father never spoke again,
even up until the day Corrales died.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying that his father died.
No.
All right, so he's dead, and his father, that's too bad, man. And did you think that this fight fucked him up, or do you think it was just that
No. I think the fight with Castillo fucked him up, because he never won another fight after that. This was early in his career. Corrales was 20. Oh. Quick backdrop to this story. After this fight, Corrales served 11 months in prison for throwing his pregnant girlfriend down a flight of stairs.
Oh, I didn't know that was against the law, man. But anyway, I thought that was like just, you know, being
Logan,
a good husband.
You do that and see what happens.
No thanks. But anyway, so between this fight and the one we're going to look at next, what did Floyd do?
All right. After Destroy Corrales, he moved up to lightweight. He beat Jose Luis Castillo twice to become the WBC and ring lightweight champion of the world. He defended that title for 3 years, dominating the division, until he moved up right now, four years later. He's fighting Floyd Mayweather, Arturo Gatti, as he moves up to the junior welterweight division.
Wait, hold on. He fought Castillo twice.
He beat Castillo twice. The first fight was the toughest fight of Mayweather's career. Second fight was almost as tough. The first fight I had it scored a draw. So if you wanted to say Castillo won that fight, I won't argue with you. Second fight, Floyd, even though it was a tough fight, won convincingly.
And what did Castillo do to fuck up Floyd?
He stayed on top of Floyd, went to the body. He pressured Floyd the whole fight. Not one time did he let up.
So he was throwing punches. That's really
yes,
what he was doing.
Yes, he threw a lot of punches, yes.
But how many did he land?
I mean, Floyd made him miss a lot, but the fact was, Floyd was so busy blocking and ducking his punches that there was some rounds where Floyd didn't throw a lot of punches because he was too busy defending himself.
Interesting. So that's the way to go.
Roberto Duran would have given Floyd Mayweather hell because he would have stayed on top of you.
So we'll hopefully, what's his name, Alvarez is going to have to, is going to be
He's
looking
not
at that,
that type of fighter.
No way.
He's not that type of fighter.
What kind of fighter is he?
Canelo is a boxer puncher. Those guys aren't beating Floyd Mayweather.
Well, he's like a Cotto.
Yeah, he's like a younger version of Miguel Cotto. Yes.
So Cotto did some damage there, but
the first half of the fight pressured Floyd a lot, even busted his lips. But Cotto, like he does in most of his fights, ran out of gas in the last four rounds. Floyd swept him.
So you don't think that Canelo's trainers are looking at that and saying, "Look, we got to get this
of
guy."
Of course they are. Canelo knows he's got to pressure Floyd. He knows he can't try. If Canelo tries to box Floyd, turn the fucking TV off.
Yeah, dude. So, by the way, that fight's when? Next weekend?
That fight, what's today's date? Today's the 7th. The fight is 4 weeks from yesterday, exactly a month away from yesterday.
A month, okay. Month away. So, okay, good. So he goes to. So now he's fighting Arturo Gatti. Arturo Gatti kind of rose to fame. Was this after his fights with
Yeah, this is 2 years after his last fight with Mickey Ward.
So, I mean, in many ways, he's not as good probably as he, even though he's not that great, but he's probably worse now than he was before those fights, right?
He's the same. Arturo Gatti was the same. Arturo Gatti 1998, Arturo Gatti 2000, Arturo Gatti 2005, the same fucking club fighter.
So you're saying that those fights with Ward did nothing to him?
I don't need to.
Obviously, he fucked him up his head.
Yeah, well, you know what? But he took punishment in every fight.
Yeah. So he goes in. His game plan, according to the announcers, was that he was going to punch his shoulder
I know.
Or something.
I laughed my ass off when I heard that shit. The first time I saw this fight in my boss's house back when it occurred on pay-per-view in his house. And my boss at the time was an Italian mafioso type figure, and so he was a huge Gatti fan because he always rooted for the Italians. And even him was like, you know, he was a huge gambler. He in his right mind, he knew better not to gamble on Gatti. He said, I might as well just open up the window and throw $500 out the window.
Exactly. So Gatti.
So when Legley said that, I was howling in laughter. I was like, yeah, right.
Yeah, try that. And it turns out all he does is, like, throw punches out and they never connect. I mean, they're just, like, one inch shorter than they should.
Did he land one significant punch in his fight, just like the Corrales fight? Yeah, he did not land one significant punch in his fight. And it begins in the first round where he looks at the referee for help and it Mayweather drops a little left hook.
Yeah, that, what happened in the first round? There was a little bit of a confusion.
What happened was Mayweather pulled Gatti's head down and then put his glove over. Gatti looked at the referee and was like, "You going to break us?" And then while he's doing that, the referee just looks at both of them, and then Mayweather smacks Gatti with the left hook, drops Gatti like 20 seconds left in the round.
Yeah, it's kind of like what he did to Ortiz a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, protect yourself at all time. And then that's the beginning. The second round was just a tattoo fest. He hit Gaddy with every shot, plus the kitchen sink and the fucking bathtub. He hit him with everything.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like in the fight with Corrales, he was doing a little more footwork and
No, in this fight, he just stood in front of Gaddy and beat the shit out of him.
He just counterpunched, the fuck out of him. I mean, it was just like unbelievable defense.
And
totally...
it was just landing. Everything was landing flush. It was, you know how some fights, most fights, you throw a punch and you barely hit the guy if the guy is trying. Gaddy didn't even try to block these punches.
Well, yeah, Gaddy's he blocks punches with his face. But I think, though, that this was a big mismatch. I mean, it was just like it almost looked like an amateur fighter fighting a professional guy, you know.
Like a guy who just came out of the amateurs fighting a world champion in his very first fight. And Roy Jones said towards the end of this fight, he said, "Jim, I told you when they signed this fight, this was going to happen."
to me, like, the story is like, you know, the people, the detractors of Floyd are going to say, he shouldn't have fought Gaddy here. He should have fought who? Who do you think that he should have been fighting in this fight if it wasn't Gaddy?
Well, the thing is, nobody wanted to fight Floyd this time. This is June of 2005. Floyd Mayweather tried to get a fight with Kasazu, who was considered the legitimate junior welterweight champion of the world. Kasazu asked for an inordinate amount of money, so both HBO and Showtime backed off. Because, like, at least we know with Gaddy, we'll get the pay-per-view buy rates. With Zoo, we're not going to get the same type of buy rate. And Zoo, who's a much better fighter, first Battle Hall of Famer, he's in the Hall of Fame, would have given a better fight with Floyd. It would have been the same result. Would have been longer. But Zoo always had problems with guys that could move. And Floyd was the best fighter Zoo would have ever fought.
Now, do you think that there was any fighter that Floyd ducked?
The only guy that you could make an argument about it would have been Manny Pacquiao. Other than that, who else did he duck?
Right.
The only argument you could make for a fighter that Floyd ducked was Manny Pacquiao. That's it. Nobody else.
Yeah. And do you think that there was any decision, like you said, there was that one decision with Castillo?
If Castillo would have won the fight, I wouldn't have argued because he was a champion. I had to score 6 rounds apiece. And like I told you, Logan, I don't believe a robbery is a robbery if you give the guy a fight and there was like 6, 7 rounds that could have gone either way. And that was that fight. That fight was that close.
But, I mean, in terms of, like, were there any other fights like that where...
No. That's the only fight in Floyd's career where he could have lost.
Well, De La Hoya also.
No, with De La Hoya, the last 3 rounds were very decisive because he was exhausted.
So, because De La Hoya claims he won that fight.
No. If you saw De La Hoya in the 24/7 with Victor Ortiz, De La Hoya was telling Victor Ortiz, I lost that fight, but I was shot. I was shot. He fought me when I was shot. De La Hoya's come out clean and has said that he lost that fight legitimately.
Okay, because I just remember the interview after
because he was upset. He fought his ass off. He was, but I guess once he saw the fight, he realized he lost that fight. He lost that fight. If you watch the fight, you cannot find 7 rounds to give De La Hoya in that fight.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was a big fight. I mean, that was probably one of the biggest fights ever promoted.
And that is the single highest pay-per-view buy in the history of pay-per-view.
Yeah, I remember that. Just big hype for that. And that was probably more due to Oscar De La Hoya than
it was due to De La Hoya. It was 80% De La Hoya, 20% Floyd. It's like how pro wrestling used to be.
Just passing the torch.
The superstar of today fights the upcoming superstar, loses to the upcoming superstar, so he puts the rub. Now that I beat you, I become the number one superstar.
Yeah, it was Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, well, in the history of boxing, that's happened a lot, and most recently it happened with Floyd and De La Hoya. Now, the guy who beat Floyd is going to be that next big star. We just got to find that guy.
Well, it wasn't going to be Pacquiao. We know that. Just like looking at the way Floyd fights and the way Pacquiao fights. I think Pacquiao is the perfect opponent for Floyd.
Yes, yes. And as you can see in this fight with Getty, second round, he chopped. Third round, fourth round, fifth round. It's like a exact replica of the round before. Finally, the sixth round, for the last minute, he must have landed like 30 unanswered punches. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why is the referee not stopping this fight?
Now, I'm sure you could look at a lot of Floyd fights, I mean, where he does this to basically
no, but
all...
these are the two fights where Floyd combined offense with defense. Floyd is a defensive fighter first and foremost. He, his job is not to get hit, hit you the least possible so you don't hit him, and slow the action down. These are the two fights where he combines his offensive greatness with his defensive greatness, and these are virtuoso performances, because in both these fights, he doesn't get hit. In both these fights, he hits the guy a lot.
Now, do you believe that in the Cotto fight that he was showing that maybe he has aged a little bit?
I thought in that Cotto fight, it looked like he lost a step, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, the big question is, you know, if Floyd grows old overnight, then maybe Mr. Alvarez can. I mean, put it this way. Put some money on Alvarez if you want to make a lot of money, because the odds are, I mean, I think the odds are terrible for him. But,
So Floyd, after the sixth round, after he tattooed Getty, God damn, he just ripped Getty apart. And Roy, you don't pay all this. I was like, see, this fight should have never been made. I told you, Jim, this fight should have never been made. This was a mismatch from the beginning. Daddy's trainer, Buddy McGurk, takes his mouthpiece out and says, all right, baby, that's it. Good night. Fight ends. Floyd Mayweather wins an easy six-round stoppage. And he continues 8 years later to be the number one fighter in the world as he was that night, June 25th, 2005.
And so talk about his career after that.
Well, we don't have to. Anybody who listens to this program has followed Floyd's career. But real quickly, I'll give a quick overview. The following year, he beat Zab Judah to win the IBF welterweight championship. Then he beat Carlos Baldomir to win the WBC welterweight championship. This was 2006. 2007, he beats De La Hoya. He's the Ring Fighter of the Year for the second time. And he retires after beating De La Hoya. Comes back to beat Marquez in 2009. It was a fucking whitewash. It was no contest, a virtuoso performance. Just if we would add a third fight, it would have been the Marquez fight, because that was just a blowout, a 12-round easy fight for Floyd Mayweather.
I felt like he fought. I felt like that Marquez though wasn't as good as this Marquez. What do you think?
How could that be? Marquez was 4 years younger.
But he seems to have even gotten a little better since then.
He's the same fighter, same trainer. I don't see how he got better. He's always given Pacquiao hell all four fights.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, fair enough. I mean, I just see that, like, he's got this...
If baseball today, Logan, you put your money on Floyd.
Of course. But I think it would be a closer fight, maybe.
All right, instead of losing every round, he wins one round.
So you have... Yep, that fight. I mean, the Cotto fight was a big one. And what was his last fight?
Robert Guerrero, a total mismatch, a total fucking mismatch. Guerrero had no business being in the ring with Floyd. It was a total mismatch.
And Floyd's retirement, was that all bullshit just for negotiations?
No. His right hand kept breaking. And I think he was just taking time off to heal it properly.
I know, but I mean, do you think that he had at that time really planned to stop fighting forever?
I think in the back of his mind he knew he was coming back.
Yeah, I mean now how is he doing money wise? I'm sure he's money Mayweather. He's got a lot of money, but
no one's saying he's broke.
And he's doing good. I mean, I'm just saying, like, how does he spend his money? Is he pretty good with that?
You know, I think he spends too much money on his family and his hangers-on, whatever the term is, his entourage. His entourage is too fucking big. And that fucking fiance of his, he can dump that bitch anytime. I mean, she's fine, but Like I said, there's a million of them out there he can have. You don't have to have this one chick. Well, then again, she don't mind that he fucks other women, so what the fuck?
Anyway, so who's his current wife now?
No, he's still dating that chick who calls herself Miss Jackson. That's
right,
why I asked bitch.
But he went to jail, right? I mean, let's
no,
talk about
that. No. Okay. What was it? He spent 60 days in jail a year ago. But that was from his that was because he allegedly beat the mother of three of his kids.
I think when you go to jail, it's no longer alleged. But anyway.
No, because he crossed a plea. I don't think he was convicted of that charge. He was convicted for a lesser charge. He pleaded lesser charge.
All right. Good.
If he would have been convicted of assault, yeah, he would have spent 60 days in jail.
Good point.
Diego Corrales threw his girlfriend down the stairs. He was convicted of that, and he spent 11 months in prison.
Cool. So that's Floyd, man. I mean, I don't know what else we can say about him.
Nah, we've covered both fights thoroughly. Logan's got the link. I'm looking forward to looking at the link because I want to see what picture you got of Floyd, because there's several pictures of him with a million title belts.
Oh yeah, this show's not going to go up for a little while.
Okay. I'll get it on tomorrow. I'll get it tomorrow when you put the link on. But yeah, get a nice picture of him with the belt. Next week we will talk about the greatest Jamaican fighter of all time, multiple champion in the junior middleweight, and light heavyweight division. Mike the Body Snatcher McCollum will feature him tomorrow in three of his greatest fights, against Julian Jackson, against Donald Curry, and against Michael Watson. Three phenomenal. All three different types of ways he dominated these fights. Mike McCollum, one of the most underrated fighters. You could make the argument he's the most underrated fighter in the history of boxing because he came along at the same time as Hearn, Taglin, Duran, Leonard, and none of those guys gave him a shot.
Interesting. All right, well, we're looking forward to that. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back next week. Peace.
All right, good night, sir.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.